I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Okay, coast is clear. Come out of the bunker, and we'll reveal the answer to our geoquiz today. The German landmark that started out as a World War II air raid shelter had many other uses over the years. Here to tell us about them is R.J. McGill. He's written about this Nazi bunker for the German magazine Der Spiegel. First off, give us the answer to the geoquiz. Where is this five-story concrete bunker, R.J.?
This bunker is in the city of Berlin. It's on a street called Reinhardtstrasse, which is near the seat of the German parliament. And it's huge. It towers above the entire street, casts a shadow on the other side, and it has walls that are 3 meters thick.
Gray concrete?
Gray concrete, pockmarked on the outside. The inside, there's no light. It's pretty impressive.
And was it ever used by Hitler as a bomb shelter?
It was. It was built by Albert Speer when they thought, okay, there's going to be one last dragged-out battle that would allow Germany to win the war. And 2,000 people could fit into the bunker originally in 1944. It was a safe haven. It's where people went that lived in this neighborhood, around Friedrichstrasse, which is a big train station near the capital. They could all rush in there and be protected as soon as the bomb alerts went off.
So it went from life as a bomb shelter in World War II to life as a kind of massive anteroom for bananas and other fruit, specifically from Cuba.
That's right. During the Soviet rule of that part, it sits in the former eastern part of Berlin. The Soviet government used it to store imported fruit from Cuba, including pineapples and bananas and oranges. Being another communist country, that had trade relations, they would store the fruit in there. And you can still, we're told, the owner of the of the bunker, Christian Morrow, said that when it's warm, you can actually still smell bananas.
Must be glorious. Well, then something else happened. It became, and this is kind of interesting, you point this out in your article, it took on an entirely new life as?
As a rave and sadomasochistic party haven. And that was later on, that was after the fall of the wall in 89. The hugest party scene in Berlin, so I'm told, was the former East. And one of the places where they would go was this giant bunker, which has, keep in mind, five stories, all concrete. And every room had different kinds of music. There were black lights everywhere. Probably really smelled like bananas then because it really got warm. And the parties, we're told, would go till, 5, 6, 7 in the morning.
All right. May have smelled of other things, too, but
we won't
go there. All right. So talk about new life. At this point, it's become the property of a Polish entrepreneur who is opening up this old bunker. Is it next month that he's doing it, by the way?
That's right. Beginning of June.
Okay. What does he have up his sleeve?
Well, his name is Christian Boros, and he is an advertising guy originally from Poland who lives on top of the bunker in a 500-square-meter penthouse made of glass. And inside the huge bunker, he and his wife Karen have their entire art collection stored, 80 different works of art ranging from Damien Hirst and Olafur Eliasson, Chris Martin, really international smattering. All stored in this bunker.
Safe to say this is not the kind of art that Hitler would have approved of.
Exactly not that kind. The opposite. I mean, Hitler was against what he called degenerate art, which meant anything that was not figurative and representational. These things, I mean, they're pure abstraction. It's very contemporary. Most of it is sculpture, large pieces of, an example is a giant fan by an artist named Olafur Eliasson is swinging around a room on a rope. There's no immediate message. There's no sort of representation of nobility or, Germanness to all these sort of strange works that are there that are hard to grasp and often make no sense at all. Borrow says that he likes to collect work that he doesn't understand.
Yeah.
And I think once you walk around, you definitely can see that they're hard to understand.
Although it's not all dark. From a picture that we have on our website, I noticed that there's some rooms that have been painted and designed really beautifully.
Yeah, definitely. There are lights everywhere. Some are in darkened rooms that are the artwork is the light, how the light is sort of behaving in the room, maybe shown upon a big round piece of canvas, for example, through water. So I think there are definitely a few works that are experimenting with what you do with light in a darkened, concrete cavernous room. There is one work that sort of really hints at war, and it's four giant black columns that are laying through a wall. So there are four square holes in the wall, and these look like cannons. Metaphorically, one jumps in the mind to think that these are weapons of some sort. That was the closest they got to thinking that something looked like warish.
I wonder if there are any neighbors in the area who would have flocked to, or perhaps did flock to, this place during World War II, who are still around to witness its major metamorphosis.
As a matter of fact, on that morning of the press conference, an elderly man came by, easily in his, I would say, late 80s, mid to late 80s, and this older gentleman asked him, he said, "Wow, you know, there's all these people coming in and out, and I've heard what's going on. Is there someone living on top of this thing?" And Borrow sort of nodded and said, "Yeah, I think someone is living up there. I heard it's very nice." So I'm sure it's a very strange, surreal sense for some of the older residents in the area to walk by and know that this is now housing 80 works of contemporary art from all over the world.
All right. Speaking to us from Berlin, the answer to our geo quiz today, R.J. McGill, who writes for the German news weekly Der Spiegel. Thank you very much.
Thank you.